But, you know, if you're at a other company's office because you're at an external meeting and there's just this weirdo who's fucking hopping the vent, it me, bitches.
Top 5 Face Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
And this is Top 5 Face Off, the official world ranking of everything. What are you ranking today, Hurst?
Well, Squirrel, today we are going to be ranking the top 5 smells.
Coming right up after this.
If there's more than one, then there's a best and a worst. If there's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the Top 5 Face Off. Actual facts. It's the Top 5.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, rankers. Welcome back. And if this is your first time listening, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Squirrel, for all our new rankers, why don't you tell them what we do here and, importantly, why we do it?
Why are we doing this? Well, hi, new rankers. This is Top 5 Face Off, the official world rankers of everything, just like Robo Katy Perry said. Each episode, we have a random topic chosen for us by our Patreons, and we... That's technically not true, but never mind, we're sticking with it. And we rank the top 5 and the worst thing from that topic. And then you, the ranker at home, go to our website, www.top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote. Tell us which one of us is correct, because one of us is always correct. Then that goes on to become the official world ranking.
Sweet.
How's that, Hurst? Took me like 3 tries that time.
Good summary in the end. Almost passed out, but it'd be cool.
Hurst is not well, rankers.
Yeah, I've got some poorly Hurst here, so I'm going to power through. I've got my Lucozade, I've taken my tablets. I'm going to blast all of my remaining energy at you guys because I love you so flipping much.
Here you go, rankers. Hurst is going to blast his love over you.
Oh, look out.
Blast is probably doing a lot of work for an old man like you.
Jesus. I've really loved him for abuse, haven't I?
So we started early on this one. Anyone would think we're doing our Valentine's episode again. But
of course, in spite of our important work that we're doing here, we can never really get straight to the point on account of we're British. We need to talk about things like the weather. And really, this has been a bumper week for the Brits when it comes to talking about weather. Fantastic stuff. I assume it's probably been similar down there, but it has been... Monday was disastrously cold. It was dastardly. I was in the playground. We'll come back to that in a minute. Jesus, there's something wrong with you.
I've been watching Family Guy all morning.
Rankers, I'm currently working in a special educational needs school as a teaching assistant.
That's better.
Part of the job involves supervising things on the playground. And on Monday, it was so flipping cold, I had my big woolen coat on with a scarf, gloves and a hat. I was like, Jesus, it's bitter. Wednesday, I was out there in a t-shirt sweating. So, absolute bumper week of British weather there. It's gone from dastardly cold to glorious. The flowers are all coming out. The cherry trees in bloom. Spring's the best.
Good
times. How about your end? Same sort of thing?
Pretty much the same. I can't remember it being cold on Monday. There's a barely good chance I didn't step outside, though. So
fair enough. Yeah, I spend much more of my time outside now. Well, what else has been going on?
My child had his 18th birthday party yesterday.
So he did. Happy birthday, Sam. I know you're officially an adult, but don't go get any ideas that you're actually an adult.
No, God, no. He's an idiot, as we know. But yeah, my house was just swarmed upon by a horde of teenagers. It is bruised, but not broken. It survived the night. We got some interesting things just around. I don't know what happened in my bathroom, but the blinds are like in the wrong place, and I can't understand how that's occurred.
And actually, we'll probably come back to this sort of thing later. You have a house full of teenagers. We've got a worst smell to come to at some point. I'm reckoning your house was possibly the worst smell in Bedford that night.
It smelled of alcohol, so it wasn't the end of the world. I mean, I just went to the pub, but yeah, good Lord, just rammed full of kids. And I met a girl with tiny hands, whose name I forget. Sorry, girl, whose name I forget if you're listening. But they were like, literally, her fingers came up to like the base of my fingers, if you see what I mean. When we did the whole palm to palm thing, they were just so small.
That's so tiny hands.
There we go. That is my exciting part of that party.
Well, As I alluded to a moment ago, well, I didn't allude to, I said outright, I've been working in a school as a TA, and the school I'm working in is in Lincoln.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what you know about Lincoln.
He got shot at the theatre.
Not that Lincoln, different Lincoln. Lincoln, the city. Well, the Red Arrows are based in Lincoln, and they practice there. They practice every day. So literally every day for the last 2 weeks, I've been watching the Red Arrows zooming around, doing loop the loops in formation, which is insane.
Cool.
Spraying their red smoke out the back of their jets, and it's just spectacular. And you know what? They're so used to it in Lincoln, they don't even look up.
Don't even glance at them.
It's like six of the greatest pilots in the whole world are zooming over our heads. I was playing football with some of the kids on the field, and they went over so low you could just see all the detail on the planes. And I stopped, and I was just like a kid, like, oh my God, that's so cool. The other kids didn't even stop playing to glance up. I really hope I never get to the point when I'm not absolutely in awe of them, because they are so damn cool. But also, working in the school is gripping my shit a little bit because, as we've talked about, and as you can probably hear from my deep Barry White voice, I'm poorly. I've worked in a school for 2 weeks and I'm already poorly. God damn.
Children are full of diseases.
They are absolutely riddled with diseases.
They are rife with the virus.
And they are spreading them far and wide. They are sharing that shit.
Yeah.
So, kids, that's pretty annoying.
You've got a cold, right, of some kind?
Uh-huh.
So, ironically, we're doing an episode about smells. Can you smell anything right now?
Well, actually, no, I did just have some bacon, and I could smell that.
Good.
Sort of. Not as much as I would like to have smelled it. But, no, I did get a minor waft of bacon come through, so... Phew.
Yeah, this one, this episode, we're talking about spells that were suggested by Dav Paz. I don't know if this is like a bet or a challenge. It's an interesting one, that's for sure.
Yeah, maybe he was just in a rush, needed to put something on the wheel or something. Smells.
Nice and short, type it real quick, right?
Yeah, but you know what? It's nice to have something a bit different, like not having to watch TV or movies or listen to albums. And
listen
just
to all of ABBA.
Just to... Oh, fuck. but yeah, just to notice smells. That's nice, especially with the garden coming into bloom. Been enjoying that until I can't smell anymore.
I got to admit, I didn't go out deliberately sniffing things.
Yeah, you can get maybe in trouble
that's why
for
you're
that.
Ill. Yeah, exactly that, right? Well, you certainly could in your current job. And some of the things, if they are seasonal, you're not able to smell them yet. They don't exist till that certain time of the year. But let's not get in there yet, Hurst, because, I mean...
We've got to talk about last week.
Last week, last episode, whatever we want to call it. That's one of our tougher assignments, Hurst.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ABBA.
I felt a real bond of kinship with you. After coming to the end of that particular episode and going, yeah, we did it. We listened to all those albums, except the last one, which I didn't realise was an album until an hour before we recorded. But we put in the hard yards for our rankers there, and I feel like we earn every penny of that internet money that we're currently mining.
That is true. That is true. We did pick up a couple new Patreons as well, but I think that was off the back of the earlier week where we had like a squillion votes and we're not really sure why.
Yeah.
But let's talk about ABBA. So we were ranking the top five ABBA songs. Here comes some comments. When I think ABBA, I hear Waterloo, says Kern, and votes for me. Thank you, Kern. I agree. Here's a vote for you, Hurst. I backed Hurst. Squirrel tried to make a winner takes it all moment, but Hurst actually did from One Good Leg.
Wow.
Thanks, One Good Leg.
That's the first time for One Good Leg, isn't it? We've not had One Good Leg before.
It kind of rings a vague bell, but no, maybe not. Do you think they have one bad leg or just one exceptional leg? Is that what's going on there?
Yeah, maybe.
One normal leg, one really good leg.
Yeah, one worth boasting about. It's like,
hell yeah.
Gonna flex about my good leg.
Damn right. Well, keep it up, One Good Leg. Well, apart from your very first, let's not keep that up. Dav Paz here, young and sweet and only mumble mumble. Hard to get excited about ABBA, really, for they were lame long before I ever heard them. And for Squirrel, just because he's right about Waterloo, it slaps. Go, thanks, Dav Paz.
Fair enough.
A vote for you, Hurst, from someone called Pete, who put their name at the front. Thanks, Pete. Winner Takes It All is, frankly, the best.
Yeah,
simple. They agree with you there, Hurst.
I like how there's all the votes so far is like based on Waterloo or Winner Takes It All, because no one else is willing to listen through the back catalogue to see whether we got the other four right.
Well, Hurst, stand by for a surprise. a vote for you here. This is the first time I've really listened to any ABBA, so thanks. Dancing Queen swung my vote towards hers, although it was certainly close. That's from Ohio in the America, in Ohio. Ohio from Ohio.
Hey, Ohio. Thanks for voting. And thanks for getting involved to some ABBA as well.
Yeah.
Feeling the pain with us. That's nice. Good ranking.
Hurst, you remember the mystery from the last episode and the episode before about where had Meg 98 been?
Oh, yeah, go on.
We have the answer.
Oh, thank fuck.
I was on holiday, says Meg 98.
Of course. Makes absolute sense.
Makes perfect sense. Anyway, Waterloo slaps and I strongly dislike Dancing Queen, so it's squirrel for me. Thanks, Meg.
This slaps business, two of them have said it slaps. And I've never heard this as slaps. An expression before. Is that something the kids are saying these days?
I think the kids were saying it about 5 or 10 years ago. It's not so...
Past me by.
Speaking of Waterloo, Waterloo is obviously the best ABBA song. And like you, I don't fucking like ABBA either. Surprised neither of you picked Super Trooper as the worst, though. If a song was enough to be parodied by Not the 9 o'clock News, it must have been pretty awful. Love and hugs, Gaz Chap. Thank you, Gaz Chap. And then straight back with a vote for Hurst. ABBA are definitely at their best when it's the funk disco era, either with a laid-back bass line or a relentlessly driving drum section. I can take or leave their pop stuff in the main, apart from the classics. Production is excellent, though, always. And they know how to structure a song, even if the lyrics don't keep up to the same level. Still going, Hurst wins this week after a rare fourth choice for
Squirrel
in his list. Never heard the instrumental before, not sure I want to hear it again. Rubbish, it's great. One thing is for certain, I think the upcoming Marred Stallions ABBA tribute medley will be super from Trooper. Well done, Super Trooper, I get it.
Yeah, so who did Trooper vote for?
You, after, rambled on for a bit and then voted for you because he didn't like...
Well, no, Trooper and I have well and truly made up. He took advantage of the 30% discount.
Oh, in your art store.
To procure arts, he said it was all right to mention it, so I wouldn't have pulled him out otherwise. But Trooper, after giving me all that abuse, has turned it around, switched the love. So, shout out to Trooper.
So basically, he's given you money and now you're happy. You like him now.
Yeah.
All right, fair. People want to pay me to like them. I'm ready for that. A vote for me. But really, it's a vote for us both, Hest. You lads really suffer for your arts. Not a fan of ABBA or Dancing Queen. Thanks, Kov. You're right, Kov.
It's all a load of old bobbins, isn't it?
And the final vote is also about Dancing Queen and comes from my wife, who is the lady you hear warning you at the start of the episode that we might do swears. She's voted for you, Hurst, and she has said, the song that is most associated with your wife and that was played in the church at our wedding didn't make the top five. It's a vote against Squirrel.
So not a vote for Hurst so much as a vote against Squirrel.
Against Squirrel, that's very much true. Yes, we had the organist in the church play two songs that weren't hymns. One was Hakuna Matata from The Lion King. I chose that one. And the other was Dancing Queen, which, yes, I had forgotten. My B. Sorry, honey. So anyway, Hurst is currently downing some Lucozade, but he looks about done with his coughing fit. Are you ready for the results, Hurst?
Yeah.
Ooh, it was close. It was close. I will tell you that you got 26 votes.
Ooh, blimey.
And after our sudden upswing in votes, you don't know if that's good or bad.
I have no idea. It's the second most I've ever got.
I got 25. So you win by one vote, Hurst. Congratulations. On the downside, you now have to dig out your list of ABBA songs, which you've almost certainly forgotten, to remind us of the official world ranking.
Here at number 5, Dancing Queen. Up to number 4 this week, Mamma Mia. Number 3 sees Gimme, Gimme, Gimme making a brand new entry. My Mama Said is in at number 2. And number 1 this week, and the greatest ABBA song of all time ever is Winner Takes It All.
Well, let's never think about ABBA again.
Done.
Shall we talk about some smells?
Let's talk about smells.
Who gets to talk first about smells, Hurst? How can we decide?
I think we should check in with the Coin of Destiny. Flip that mofo.
Flipping that mofo right in his owl. Heads for Hurst.
Sweet. Right. I'm going to dive straight in on this one because we all know what smells are. Some are good, some are bad. This is your top 5. Number five for me is clean sheets. Think Sunday night, climbing into bed with fresh sheets after a nice hot bath. You feel clean, the sheets feel clean, everything's refreshing. And then as you put your head down on the pillow and breathe in, the smell of freshness finishes off the perfect comfort. It's part of the combination of joy, the smell, but it's the icing, it's the crown, it's the cherry on the cake. Fresh, clean sheets. Love that shit. Number five.
Yeah, legit. Plus, they haven't been covered in dogs yet, presumably.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Number five for me is a more seasonal smell, and I haven't really had it yet. And that is specifically arriving somewhere where they're having a barbecue party. It doesn't work if you're the chef, you cook it. It's not the same as rocking up at the house and getting just smacked in the face by all these smells at once. You've got, obviously, you're cooking meat, you've got like hot fat, and you've got beer and alcohol, and you've got like a sun cream if it's a really hot day in the summer. And all of that mixed together is just freaking British nostalgia just in your face at the same time. And I love it. It's one of my favorite smells.
Mate, it's such a good call, because barbecue as a smell is brilliant. But you're absolutely right. There's something about turning up when it's in full flow. If you've set the barbecue, you've been there as the smell's developed and you haven't quite got that hit. But you walk into else's barbecue, especially because it means you're not doing the work. It's like when someone brings you a cup of tea. Always tastes better. Yeah, that's such a great shout. That it's not just the smell of barbecue, it's the smell of arriving at a barbecue.
Yep.
Ah, bravo.
Well, fear not. Number four is weird as hell.
Ah, sweet. Same for me.
Well, go on then.
Number four is petrichor. Have you ever heard that word before? Petrichor?
Petrichor? No. Is it to do with petrol?
It is not. It is the smell of rain on a hot pavement. It actually has a word.
Very nice.
It's the pleasant earthy smell that's produced when rain falls on dry soil or concrete, often described as smelling like wet earth or rocks and fresh air. You know the smell, though, like when it's been absolutely roasting.
Yeah, yeah,
it's got weeks, to be hot. Yeah. And then that first few drops of rain hits the concrete. That smell is called petrichor, and it's caused by the release of plant oils, ozone, and a bacterial compound called geosmin or geosmin. I don't know how that's pronounced.
Geosmin, but it goes sounds like she's a singer.
Yeah, Jocelyn Stone.
Jocelyn.
But it's G-E-O-S-M-I-N, pronounce it how you like, but that's what that's about. But that smell is, again, it's a rarity, not to be mistaken for the smell of ozone, which is another great smell. But when the storms come in and you can smell it, it's got that kind of metallic smell in the air of the electricity.
It's the same as the bumper cars, right? That's the same smell, because it's the same thing, yeah.
So, but for me, petrichor, the actual, that rain moment, because it's usually such a relief as well, because it's been so hot and it's gotten muggy, and you just want the air to clear. So there's, again, like with the clean sheets, there's more than just the smell, there's the whole experience. But it's, it's good stuff, that petrichor, number four.
Yeah, see, now we've both discussed experiences so far, and I'm about to do it again. There's a lot of stuff going on which isn't necessarily to do with the smell itself, right? But maybe that's just how these things work. Brains. Weird.
Yeah.
Number four, traction engines. So bear with me. So
no, I think I know the smell you mean. I think carry on.
My father has always had traction engines. He builds little ones. And when I say little, they're still pretty big, but they are smaller than full-size traction engines. But he's had a full-size one as well. That was always normal for me. That was like just what people did, as far as I was concerned when I was a kid. Anyway, traction engines, if you have a traction engine, you often go to what we call engine rallies or steam fairs, some people call them. You know, they gather them all together and people wander around. There's a fairground. And that fairground bit is important. Because obviously, as a kid, I loved them because they had fairgrounds, because they had things to do, and it was exciting, and the traction engines were just there as far as I were concerned, because I was very used to them. But they have a smell to them, which is fucking just hardcore. It's just like work. Like, it's like having a tractor before health and safety came along to make everything dull. It's obviously the smell of burning coal. It's normally cheap coal that smokes a lot as well, because the steam rally people supply the coal, so they want it to be fairly cheap as possible, or it would cost them loads of money. So you've got burning coal, you've got very hot oil, because these things run really hot. You've got fucking beer, because there's always beer. You've got the fairground smells, and that was it. And that's, I just love the smell of the things. They just smell angry and powerful, and yeah, great.
Until I met you, I didn't know what a traction engine was. My only experience with it was from, there was a show called The Day Today, which was like a fake news, pretend news show with Chris Morris.
And that's what, like a traction engine?
Yeah. Alan Partridge, when he's doing the World Cup commentary, he goes, "Shit! Did you see that? He must have a foot like a traction engine." And I didn't know what it was, but I knew it meant it was powerful. Mm.
Well, yeah, they are. And obviously, as a kid, I like going to these things because they're the fairground. And then as I got older, well, now they have beer tents, the adult fairground.
Yeah, that smell of coal burning and like the steam and all of that.
Yeah.
It's a weird smell. It's not technically a nice smell, but it somehow is.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think I've got at least two more things that aren't technically nice smells on my list.
Yeah.
But they are. You'd never have it in a perfume, although you do come home smelling like it anyway, so there's no need to have it in a perfume.
I mean, there is a perfume brand called Diesel, isn't there? So maybe they should think about it.
So anyway, that's my number four, traction engines. You may have never smelt one. Sorry.
Fair enough. No, it's good. It's good stuff. My number three is wood fires. So this could be campfires, log burners, bonfire night, your dad's bonfire at the bottom of the garden when you're a kid when he's just burning off like bits of twigs or shit that didn't want it any day. Yeah.
You didn't have to take it into your green bin. You just fucking burnt it at the bottom of your garden.
Yeah. There's just comfort, nostalgia, and possibly that ancient lizard brain that's like, fire is good, fire is helpful for us. It's defensive. We can use it for cooking. You can use it for all sorts. Staring at a fire, you can stare at it for ages, but there's something about the smell of it. Plus also, when you're getting it going, it's unlike the barbecue, part of the smell of getting the kindling going, which then turns into, you know, quite the pungent, smoky smell of getting, you know, the fire properly going. And then once it's all flame, it doesn't give off much of a smell, but it's just the whole process of wood fires is just fucking great. Plus, you can have s'mores on it. You can do those dough twists with jam where it's burnt on the outside and raw on the inside, but somehow you still think it's nice. You convince your brain, no, this is all right. And of course, feeling like an utter manly man whenever you get one going.
Make caveman, make the fire.
It is one of the most primal feelings of exalted manliness that you can feel is when you get a fire going from nowhere. It's like, I know how to do this. I mean, granted, I have matches for it. I'm not one of those who can...
were you rubbing two sticks together at this point? Or?
No, I was a fairness. I don't know how to do that. I've seen it done, like you rub the sticks in a little hole and it makes a little tiny thing. And you go in and blow it. No, I haven't done that shit. Don't need to do that. Don't use flint because I'm not going out hiking on Mount Everest, so... I've got matches. But yeah, the smell of wood fires, that's good stuff. There are so many situations. That was such good times.
Yeah, love it. Good shout. All good shouts so far. Very good list. So challenging one for our rankers. Let's see how they do. My number three is cooking garlic. There you go. Quite a simple one. This is garlic. Obviously, people know what garlic smells like. Probably lots of you know what garlic smells like. Unless you have no sense of smell. If you have anosmia, this isn't really the episode for you. But maybe you're tuning in because we're describing smells and you can learn about them too. But anyway, garlic smells specifically of something called, here comes the pronunciation, alinase. Alinase? Alinase? I don't know. A-double-L-double-I. N-A-S-E. Alinase?
Alinase?
Alinase, I don't know, something like that. It's the conversion of alien to allicinin, and that is what smells like. And when you damage garlic, that's the smell that's released, and when you eat it or cook it, that is when it gets aerosolized into the air, and then you can smell it, and it smells really goddamn nice. That is basically the gist of it. I have no event-driven memories for this one. I have no nostalgia. It just smells bloody great, cooking garlic number three.
Yeah, I mean, you do a lot of cooking, so that would be its own nostalgia for you. Like, it's getting something started. I don't cook much, but whenever I'm cooking anything in a frying pan, I like to start with garlic and onion because it builds that base. It smells like cooking and getting things going. It's going to have a bit of flavor to it. So I know exactly what you mean about garlic. Good one. My number two is freshly cut grass.
Classic.
And I think that's one that pretty much everyone likes the smell of, unless they have hay fever, in which case they'd probably dread that smell a little bit. But I think there's twofold. There's the changing of the seasons out of winter. That first time you cut the grass after winter, it smells great because spring's here. Winter's done. It's been miserable. And that is the first thing that I think, yeah, that's the smell of spring coming in, is the smell of cut grass. But also then, because you have to do it throughout the rest of it, it's just a reminder every time you do that we're in spring or summer summer or the early part of autumn, I'm having to cut the grass, which is a bit of a suck job, but it's because it's the best seasons, it's the best time of year. And also, cut grass looks awesome.
It does.
When you live opposite a field or something.
Mm.
So we used to live opposite a field in our last house. And every time the grass had just been cut, aside from the great smell, it just looks brilliant. It looks really inviting. So I think that's, I smell cut grass. That means there's a field that we can go and sit in and have a picnic if we want.
Yeah, that's true.
It's great stuff.
Cut grass was your number two, correct?
That's right. Yeah, what's your number two?
My number two is actually toxic. And you shouldn't smell it too much. It's petrol. Fucking love the smell of petrol. I have done since I was a kid, right? But if you kind of stick your nose in the can of petrol that your dad's using for the mower, there's a good chance you black out. So don't do that.
Education.
Petrol's like properly forbidden for that reason, right? It's a forbidden smell. There's a danger to it. But it just smells really nice. I love it. I know some people absolutely hate it. And I get that because it's a really strong smell. But it's a really strong smell that I really freaking like. Just don't breathe too much of that. Not healthy, but smells great. Petrol, number three.
Two.
Petrol, number two.
I get what you mean because it isn't a nice smell, but I think it's the things that go with it. So I've had diesel cars for so long that I barely smell petrol.
Diesel smells gross.
It does. Yeah. When I had my motorbike, filling that up, because it was fun, there was no real practical point of me having a motorbike. I had it just for the joy of riding. So filling up with petrol always meant I'm just going out on a ride. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Might be controversial.
Well, I love it.
Could swing it either way for you.
Who knows, right? Who knows? I don't know much about what other people like in terms of smells. Like, I don't know how many of the people I know like the smell of petrol. Maybe all of them. Maybe bloody none of them. Maybe I'm really weird. I don't know.
Or maybe none of them, but they get it.
Maybe.
Because they can't put the finger on it.
Probably shouldn't put your finger on petrol. It is not flammable. Good for your skin, and, you know, quite flammable, I believe. So, yes, important safety advice from Top 5 Face-Off.
Well, that's been gripping my shit this week, actually, to be honest. The whole price of fuel at the moment.
Oh.
I went into a garage on Monday afternoon on the way home from school to fill up, and it said it was $1.69 on the...
Just diesel,
one,
right?
No, it was $1.59 for diesel at thing. I was like, all right, I'll go in there. Literally, by the time I got to the pump, it was up to $1.62.
Oh, what the hell? They're already meant to change them at night. That's what went on.
So then I went in and I said to them, your sign says
sign's
159, but it charged you 162. They said, oh, no, it's all right, we've changed it. And I looked out and they had already changed it. So,
holy shit.
And then by the end of the week, it was up to 172. So it went up like 12p in 5 days. And that's all fucking Donald Trump's fault for making another war that isn't needed.
Oh, that's true.
His stupid fault that my fuel costs too much money. We digress. Anyway, we need to talk about the worst smells.
There's a lot of choice for worst, Hurst.
There are. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, like a classroom full of teenagers on a warm day is a bad, bad smell. Obviously, going to the tip is one of the worst things, partly because you feel like you're being judged by the people who work there at all points.
You are.
And you're terrified that you're going to be getting it wrong. Like, can I put this in here? It's like, no, damn it.
No, bin 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
If I worked at the tip, I would absolutely be eagle-eyed on what people were throwing away, and I would make such assumptions about people from what they were putting into my skip bins. Like, you're throwing away garden furniture.
I'd have a megaphone, like, excuse me! you with that perfectly good garden furniture.
That's it.
Yeah, so that's bad smell. If you've ever driven past a sewage works, that's about as bad as it gets. But I thought I would go with something a bit more metaphorical, and that's the bitter stench of defeat.
Oh my God. Good job we don't count these, you fucking cheat. All right. The stench of defeat. Hit me with it, Hurst.
The grim whiff of losing. I think we've all been there. We've all lost something we really, really wanted to win, and you feel like a loser. And that's because you are. You smell of losing.
Reek of loss.
Ugh. All right. Your turn.
That's it, is it?
Yeah.
Squirrel here. Hello, rankers. Just wanted to let you know that I'm about to discuss a dead dog. If you don't want to hear that, and I can understand why you wouldn't, skip forward to, whatever this number is.
30 minutes and 30 seconds.
Right, good. Mine is very specific, and I'm not going to try and bury the lead on what it is, because you're going to know what it is immediately when I say that when I was young, one of my mates, his dog went missing.
Oh, yeah.
Cadaver.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump straight to the end of this story. I found the missing dog, but unfortunately I found it easily a month or two too late. It was an unpleasant smell coming from this little shed. And when I opened the door, holy God, did it smell bad.
Yeah, but and that just makes me really sad that someone's dog died starving in a shed.
Died in a shed, right? And he was sad, but... Oh, God, the smell of dead, rotting animal. And coupled with, like, a fucking tornado of flies coming at me as I opened the door.
Yeah.
Because they're just thinking, oh, my God, that smells so freaking bad. I was puking for an hour, I reckon. God, it smelled horrible. And then, of course, I had to go. Well, I didn't go and tell them. I was only maybe 8 or 9. I wasn't old. So I didn't go and tell them. I didn't have the mental capacity to do that. I went and told an adult, and they went and told them. Being delegated. My first delegation, maybe.
Nice.
Well done, me. Yeah. Set me up for a life of middle management. Excellent. But yeah, finding a lost dog far too late is my worst smell. Well, enough about the worst hearse. Tell us about the first hearse.
The best smell in the whole world is the smell of fresh bread. Of all the food smells in all the world, bread's the best. And there is actually a little bit of science behind why it's so good.
There is.
When bread bakes, two big reactions kick off. One of them is called the Maillard reaction. Deep roasted nutty smells, which is the same magic that comes up when you're cooking steak or roasting coffee. Not that I'm a coffee man, but I can appreciate the smell of it.
That's true.
And then the other side of it is the caramelization, which adds the warm, sweet notes. Plus... bread hits multiple lizard brain. This is good for survival signals because it's warm and safe. It's carbs, it's energy, it's fresh. It's not spoiled. And that is why technically and actually fresh bread is the absolute greatest smell. We have a new baker on the same road that my studio is on. He's an artisan baker. Mm. But he said bread's actually very reasonable. It's not like London priced bread.
Right.
It's more expensive than supermarkets, but fuck me dead. It is so good. And I've tried almost everything he does. And to a single loaf, it is all spectacular. I can't remember what it's called, but if you are ever in Retford, get down Bridgegate and go to the artisan baker there because it's worth a detour.
It's called Vintage Bakery on the corner near the bridge.
As you're walking down the street, you can smell it. And I'm usually walking there from the studio to get bread for lunch. So I'm already in that zone of I'm going to get bread. And then I smell it and I start salivating straight away. It hits me immediately. And I walk in there and it's like shopping when you're hungry. It's a terrible thing. I mean, I want that yes. one and that one and that one. I'll take the lot. So you have to be a bit sensible with it. Anyway, so bread. I fucking love bread, but the smell of bread. Amazing.
Bread's an excellent shout, Hurst. Do you have a fact, an estimated fact for me about bread?
I have both of those things.
Ooh.
Here is a fact about bread.
Thanks.
Bread is over 14,000 years old. It's older than agriculture. Humans were making flatbreads before farming properly kicked off. Here's another fact about bread. NASA spent over $2 million recreating the smell of fresh bread for astronauts because it had proven to be extremely effective in reducing homesickness at children's summer camps in the US.
Both pretty good facts. That's both pretty good. I think I'm siding toward the first one about bread being mad old, because obviously bread is mad old, but I couldn't give you a date, but we know bread is mad old. So yeah, I'm going to go with the first one. Let me know, am I right?
You are absolutely right. Bread is over 14,000 years old. There was a site found. The research was from University College London and University of Copenhagen. I went in and double-checked my stats.
Oh, good.
They did find a site that was 14,400 years old and had evidence of bread.
Good. I wonder what they made out of back then, because they weren't like growing wheat, were they?
Yeah. But also in terms of NASA, they'd spend $2 million on getting the right doorstops, because that's what places like that do in America. $2 million is nothing to NASA.
I think it is right now. I think that might be how much they've got in total. But yeah. No, there we go. Excellent bread facts, my friend. Yeah. An excellent choice for number one. Popular. Whoa, sure to win a popular vote. Let's find out. But my number one is just legitimately my favorite smell. And if I get the opportunity... I will jam a marker pen under my nose and just huff it like a weirdo, even if I'm in like in professional, it's mostly in professional settings because I'm not playing with marker pens at home. I'm not like you. Don't do colouring in.
Stay safe, kids.
Stay safe, kids. God damn, dry erase board markers or permanent markers just smell incredible. There's a chemical in them and I will find the name of it in my notes. Here we go. not me. We probably should have looked at how to pronounce some of these words before we started, right?
Why break the habit of a lifetime?
Halloween and xylene are the stronger smelling solvents, and they are actually being phased out, which is sad news, as low odor markers are generally alcohol based instead.
Better stock up.
And you can definitely smell the alcohol based ones and immediately know that they're different to the fucking good old toxic chemicals that they rammed into the old ones. God, I love that smell. I will sit in meetings and just be like, pass me the pan. Which is all right if you're with your colleagues, you know, that's cool. They know me. I do weird shit. They're down with that. But, you know, if you're at a other company's office because you're at an external meeting and there's just this weirdo who's fucking huffing the vents and has potentially at the same time a shit mohawk. It's it me, bitches. Love them. Love the smell of that shit, right? It's nothing to do with nostalgia. It's not because I remember my school days. Got to get that. Toluene and xylene chemical melts can correct my pronunciation.
Excellent, sir.
Yeah.
Got any facts about them?
I do a fact, buddy. I do have a fact. Fact. Permanent markers are impressively toxic, not just from breathing them in, but from getting them on your skin. And in more than one case, children who get hold of them and play with them by drawing all over their bodies have fucking died. That's how toxic they can be. Or, fact, if you accidentally use a permanent marker on a whiteboard and you can't get it off, you could draw over it with non-permanent marker and then you can just wipe it off as normal, like magic.
I know that to be true. I have done so.
Yeah.
Activity before when I've accidentally defaced a whiteboard, someone showed me that. It's like, what is this voodoo?
There you
time
go.
Time and xylanol are powerful. They yes. Overpower your permanent marker.
I think xylanol is something you take for stress, right? Xylene, I think it was called. Xylene. I remember I've got
yeah,
two separate.
No, that one is definitely true. I thought the first one probably wouldn't be either way. It's like, I think we'd have probably heard more about it if markers were killing kids.
Maybe. Maybe. I doubt it's probably good for you to cover yourself with these chemicals, but I don't know of any children dying now, although I didn't actually check. But you're completely right. If you use permanent marker on a whiteboard, the only difference between permanent marker and dry erase marker is the addition of these chemicals. So when you put the chemicals on, you can get the ink off. There you go. That's basically how that works.
Science.
And they smell delicious.
Science. You didn't feel science factor.
There you go. Did you have any that just missed your list, Hurst?
Yeah, I had a few close calls. I was going to ask you the same thing, actually, because obviously we discussed bacon. That's a great smell as well.
Hurst had bacon for lunch.
Yeah, and that is a good smell. I could even smell it through the illness, so that was good stuff. There were a couple as well. So when I was growing up, Cool Water by Davidoff, the fragrance.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first fragrance, and I got it because all the girls love Cool Water, so that's why all the boys bought Cool Water. And
exactly
so to,
that, right?
Yeah. So to this day, I love the smell of it because it has that nostalgic, the excitement of, you know, trying to woo girls back in the day. It's
cool. Just woo girls back in the 1800s.
Yeah, back in them days.
Right, okay.
Back some 30-odd years ago.
God, yeah.
I still have a bottle of Cool Water kicking around that sometimes I'll throw a bit on, just get the nostalgic smell. And I also like Coco Mademoiselle because that's what Carly wears. So I'm just putting that in for making sure I like the way that Carly smells. She needs to know that. Love you, Angel.
Right. I'm sure I can chop that up to make it sound bad.
Tick.
I'm going to put that in for your worst somehow. I'm going to edit that in so when you say your worst, it's that. I'd get you in trouble.
Yeah, so those were both there. What about you?
I really like walking into, what are those shops called? Like Lush, I think the shop is called. The ones that make all those bath product things and soaps and stuff. And it's just like an actual physical assault on your nose when you walk in there. It's like, pow! And they sell all these soaps and stuff. I don't think they're meant to be very good. I don't know if we like Lush or not in terms of whether they're fashionable, but they smell incredible. And they just smell these soaps and these bath bombs and these other things. Oh, mate, you want to eat them so bad. They smell so good. And you're like, oh, this must taste amazing. And they do not. They do not taste like that at all. So,
Lush sniffing shops. Markers, eating bath bombs.
Eating fucking bath bombs. And specifically this candle, it's a cinnamon and clove scented candle, which you can get as part of free from Costco. Oh, my God.
So I might check it out. We have a lot of candles in our house on account of dogs.
I do like a scented candle. I'm a fan of the red variety, the more Christmassy smelling ones, like cinnamon, like clove, that kind of stuff, festive shit. But I like, I could huff that all day.
Yeah, I like the linen smelling ones, and I've
sandalwood. The white candles.
Yeah, sandalwood's a really nice smell as well.
I've got a sandalwood one around somewhere.
Used to have that when I was burning joss sticks as a youngster. Like, yeah, cool in my hippie environment. Sandalwood.
But yeah, I guess scented candles are kind of meant to smell nice. It feels a bit cheaty.
It is a bit cheaty. I thought that as well.
Exciting stuff. Hurst, can we find out what we're ranking next week?
Let's have a look. We got any new ones?
Well, I was about to regale you, Hurst. We have a lot of new ones off the back off the weirdly popular advert episode, right? So we've got top five meatloaf songs. I'm probably happy with that one. There's a lot of meatloaf, Hurst.
There is.
Top five conspiracy theories.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Yes. Top five guitar riffs.
Ooh. Yeah, now we're into my wheelhouse.
Yes. Top five songs with more than five words in the title. That's from The Vision. That one sounds hard.
Crikey, Vish. Like,
right? It's a good job by professionals, but geez. And then finally, top five weekends away in the UK, brackets, that aren't London, close brackets. That's from Kern. What a London, Kern? Geez, it's one thing on the list. Wow.
Wouldn't even include London anyway. Screw you, London.
Well, you might not. I like London, so I would have done. But yeah, top five weekends away in the UK.
Right. Shows the wheel of decisions.
Bennett, we're going to get... Oh,
80s and 90s cartoons.
Well, there is something we know some stuff about.
Yeah,
that better place than adult cartoons with them, right, Hurst?
So much better placed. There's a lot of cartoons as a kid.
Have a look who asked for that. I think it was maybe Laura? Oh, no. Rachel the Juggler. Sorry, Rachel.
That's her second one. She was kitchen implements. She's doing well out of the wheel.
She is doing well out of the wheel. We will rank the top five and the worst 80s and 90s cartoon. Again, we're probably not doing anime in there, right? That will be its own separate category if it ever comes up, I think. But, there's so many crackers you used to watch when you were a kid. They're going to, already this is a challenge. We have, don't get confused. You may be thinking, haven't you already done cartoons? Didn't you do that first? No, we did cartoon villains. A lot of them were from the 80s and 90s, but not all of them. I had a couple, certainly more recent ones.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. Otherwise, let us back this one into the supermarket car park and call it a day, Hurst. We've spun the wheel, so time to remind you to like and subscribe and stuff like that. I don't know how it works. Just tell your friend. That's very helpful.
If you're not a patron already, how much is it going to cost? Because it's not going to be as cheap forever, is it, Squirrel?
That's a good point. We need to talk about that. Well done, Hurst. So, yes, our Patreon. I spoke to people who are actually good at this shit, and I explained what our Patreon was like, and they were like, £1? Are you insane? So apparently we're being far too cheap, Hurst, like the cheap audio whores we are.
That's right.
So we're not going to go and put any prices up. That's a dick move, Hurst. So those of you on the £1 Patreon tier, the official suggesting committee, that is not going to go up. What we are going to do is limit that to 20 people. So there can only ever be 20 people in the £1 tier. Anyone joining after that has to go into the £2 tier, which is exactly the same, but you have to pay £2. Make sense? Good. Pretty simple. Be an OG adopter. Save money, Hurst. Simple as that.
Exactly right.
Yeah. You can join the £2 tier if you want to, but you don't have to if there's still spaces left in the £1 tier. The official supporter hub, Hurst, which is £5 a month, that's always been limited to 20 people.
Bugs.
So we're not just continually reading names out. £5 a month, the official supporter hub gets you everything that you also get in the OG Patreon, the ability to suggest topics. You get special once a month bonus episodes. If we ever do adverts, you're not going to hear them. And you get your name read out in every episode, just like this.
Big up to the amazing, lovely goddess Jasmine, the marvelous Gaz Chap, the excellent Kovach, and the wonderful Dav Paz. Love you guys the most.
Do love you. I thought you were going to do an Ali G impression then, Hurst. I was very excited to hear that.
Do you get me though, innit?
Oh, that's next time. I'm just going to throw random things at you. That's how you're going to have to read them out in the future.
Yeah.
We were also told that considering the content of our podcast, the name Official Supporter Hub is very dull and we should change it to something more interesting. And you're quite right. We should do that. So the Official Supporter Hub, Hurst, we need a new name for our top tier patrons that makes them feel like they are indeed top tier Patreons. We need something that makes them feel special. And we came up with fuck all. So
I know we came up with a fraction more than fuck all, but it wasn't enough to warrant a change. And I think we need to throw this one out to the rankers. And there could be a temporary visa prize maybe for it.
Yes, indeed. If you give us a name for the official supporter hub, which is our top tier of patronage, and we choose it, you will win 3 months worth of official supporter hub or whatever it is called. Then access for absolutely nothing. And Hurst will say your name in whatever silly voice I choose next time out. So, yeah, if you've got an idea, sling it at us. You can put it in a comment when you vote on the website, or you can send us an email, hello@top5faceoff.co.uk. We hang around on Facebook. We hang around on Blue Sky, although I don't look at Blue Sky very often, so don't put it in. And you can put it as a comment on Patreon. You don't have to be paying to do that.
And the other cool thing about this is, not only will they get the benefits of being in said club every week when they hear us say, and the members of the blah, 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 blah club, they will know that that was their doing. That's like having your name read out. Like, you sit there going, yeah, I came up with that.
It's true. That was always them.
I'm part of the show.
So yeah, if you like this shit, join our Patreon. We don't mind which tier you join. Come and find us in those various places that I mentioned earlier. Come to our website and vote. That's very important. Top5faceoff.co.uk. Or if you're lazy, tffo.uk. There you go. That's all you have to type. 7 characters. Bang. Time to vote. Wow.
I didn't know we had that one. Well done, mate.
There you are. It's new, Hurst. It's new. That's why I bring it up.
Bravo.
I think that is about all we have to say, apart from, I look upon the walls of my recently trashed house by teenagers, Hurst. Many beer stains and disasters, and I'm too lazy to clean it. Maybe I just want to cover it up with some arts. Where can I procure some arts, Hurst?
Well, all the cool kids are going to www. What's my website?
Doghouse Art.
All the cool kids are going to www.doghouseart.uk. No. How all the cool kids are going to www.doghouseart. Can you do it?
All the cool kids are going to doghouseart.co.uk and buying pictures. Is the money off still good, Hurst, or is it finished?
It is for our rankers.
All right, there we go.
If you want 30% off, which is absolute marks, just write in the discount code area, all caps, "The facts are exact." Excellent Patreon trooper has already taken advantage of it.
Mm. So we know it works. That's the most surprising part of that for me, Hurst, is that you set it up right.
Well, I mean, thanks, Troop, you're a hero. And everyone else, get on it, because I'm still skin. I may be working in schools now, but I'm a TA, so I still have fuck all money.
One more thing to remind you, rankers, Hurst did drop a bit of a Harry Potter-shaped gauntlet in the last episode. Do they have gauntlets in Harry Potter's world?
I mean, not strictly, because none of them are knights. Maybe some of the ghosts, or maybe some of the coats of arms would have gauntlets, but...
Anyway, Hurst thinks no one could beat him in a Harry Potter trivia competition. I want to find out if that's true. So we are looking to bring on a guest or two for one of our Patreon specials. If you're good at the Potter, or you know someone who's good at the Potter, please get in touch if you would like to be involved. Got a couple of people, I reckon, already, Hurst. They're going to form one team. 2 people on one team. Hell yeah. Okay. You're the best. That's no problem for you. And I'm having a chat with the person that runs one of the top rated Harry Potter podcasts. So we'll see how this goes. it's going to be an interesting one, Rankers. So make sure you don't miss out. I reckon we're about done talking about smells and other things.
Let's parallel park it, and I can go and take some meds and pass out.
There you go. Please rewind this podcast for the next person to come along, and we will see you in a couple of weeks' time with 80s and 90s cartoons.
Sweet.
See you later, man.
See you later. Love you.
Top 5 Face Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Beep. Hurst doesn't even know his own website. Beep.
When I hear ABBA, immediately, within 3 fucking words, I mess that up. When I think ABBA, I hear Waterloo. Yeah, man. And I work for a green energy company.
Yeah, I work with children with special needs, so it's good for you.
Whatever. If we were to go on a romantic getaway, Hurst, where would you take us? That's the question is asking.
All right. But you were asking me, and I was going to tell you somewhere really nice. I'd take you to a lush hotel, mate.
Oh, yeah, of course you was. I was legitimately asking where you would take me.
5-star, champagne and roses, the whole works.
I don't like champagne.
Well, I'd love the champagne.
It gives me heartburn.
All right, beer and roses.
Hell yeah, here we go. I mean, roses, yeah, mate.
Beer and petrol.
Oh, yeah. just a jug of petrol and a jug of beer. Don't mix them up.
I'd treat you real nice, mate. Have a row of markers on the table. Get a big jug of beer.
You could just colour yourself in. What is happening? On the downside, you now have to dig out your list of ABBA songs, which you've almost certainly forgotten, to remind us of the official world ranking.
That is absolutely true. I have forgotten to do that. I remembered at the start of the show, I thought, well, hopefully you'll win it, and I don't have to try and find it.
We have a big... shit, let's do that again. Each episode. Why did I say that? God, this is going well. Hurst wants to get off quick, and I can't even fucking do the first bit.
Spraying their red flame. So let's try that again. Spraying their red mist out. What is it?
Smoke.
Fucking smoke. Spraying their red smoke out the back of their jet. Top 5 face off.